Are you glad to be here today? It's that time of year when you just don't know what's going to happen because there's so much stuff going on and a lot of people are feeling ill and there's a lot of sniffling noses, a lot of leaking faces this morning, and I'm probably one of them. I know I'm one of them. But you know what? Even when I don't feel well, even when I get discouraged and frustrated, and even when I, when life seems to be not going the way I want, I just want to be surrounded by God's presence, and I want to be around God's people. And many mornings I struggle to get here because of all the things going on, but when I get here, I'm glad I'm here, and I hope you feel the same way. Anybody ever struggle just to get here on a Sunday morning? Anybody struggle to get here this morning? Man. But I come here because I believe what we stand for. And we have a God of hope. And I don't want to celebrate that this morning. Before we go any further, let me just lift up a prayer for us this morning. Father, as we come here into your presence, God, we're humbled to know that we bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we approach you knowing that you are the creator of the universe, the almighty God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. Lord, we worship you today. Lord, the songs that we have sang this morning to you, Lord, these are testimonies of what is going on in our hearts this morning, that our God is greater, our God is stronger, and our God is higher than any other God that this world has to offer this morning. Lord, we worship you today. Lord, we want to shout your name out this morning. Lord, we adore you this morning. Lord, we confess that this time of year it's hard because there's so many things going on. And Lord, we confess that it's so easy to get wrapped up into the world's idea of what this season of the year stands for, God. And Lord, we confess that we don't want to lose sight of what we are celebrating today. Lord, we're not celebrating the newest gadgets that we can put under a tree or we're not celebrating all the other things. Lord, we just want to focus on God with us, Emmanuel, a God that left heaven, the throne room of heaven, and came to us as a small baby in a filthy manger for us. Lord, we confess that sometimes we lose sight of that. Lord, help us to remember that this Christmas season. And Lord, we are so thankful for everything that you've been doing for us. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity to meet this morning. We're thankful for every person that's here this morning, that we can gather together as your people, as this family, as this congregation, Lord. And together we can open up your word and we can be challenged by you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, you've given us this morning. Lord, help us not to waste it. And Lord, we do lift up all those who aren't able to be here today. Lord, there's many who are struggling in so many different ways that aren't able to be here. Lord, there's physical illness, Lord, in our congregation. And there's people that are struggling this morning who just can't get out of bed. And Lord, I know they want to be here, but they can't. Lord, would you be present with them right now? And Lord, I know that even in this gathering this morning, Lord, there's broken hearts, Lord, and there's struggles, and there's the messiness of this world. God, would you be with us this morning? Lord, you know the things that we've carried into this place today in our hearts. Lord, would you help us to lay it all down at your feet this morning? Would you help us to focus on you and what your word says for us today? Help us to believe the truths that are in your revealed word to us this morning. Lord, your Bible is true. Your scriptures never fail us. Lord, we want to hear from you today. And God, we pray all these things in the name of your son, Jesus. We thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, again, we're almost done with the book of Hebrews. We've been in this book for quite a while, and I almost wanted to step out of this wonderful book during the Advent season. But as I continue to read through these last few chapters of this wonderful sermon and our scriptures, it begs me to think that maybe we don't need to step out of this. Maybe we can read this this wonderful book in the context of celebrating the Advent season. And I think we can do that even this morning. Before we get in there, let me ask you a question. What is hope? I hope I can get through this sermon today. Let me tell you, that's what hope is. But what is hope? It's a word that we hear a lot during this time of the year. That we lit last week the candle of peace, and we talked about peace last week, and I think God was speaking to us in a powerful way last week as we talked about the peace that God offers. But this morning we lit the candle of hope. And what is hope? Well, in a dictionary sense, hope is that optimism. It's that expectation of something better coming. It's a confidence. It's a faith. It's a trust. It's a belief. And can I say this morning that if I was to give you a definition of hope, I would say that all the things are okay. All the things are right. But I would go a little further than that. I would say the hope is the expectation of something better coming by God's grace. That by God's grace, better things are coming our way. But do we trust that this morning? Are we ready to come and adore a God of hope this morning? This morning, I want us to turn again to chapter 12 of Hebrews, and we're just gonna read the last half of that chapter. So I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're gonna start in verse 18. And again, last week, if you were here, you know that last week was all about peace. That through God, we have peace. We can have peace with ourselves. We can have peace with God. And we can have peace with others. But we turn to the second half of this chapter. And hear what the preacher has to say. He says, "For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they cannot endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, into the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth. Much less will we escape if we reject him who warns us from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, the things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with a reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. This passage sets up an interesting contrast between two different things. At the first end, he's talking about the fear of that came to the people on Mount Sinai. Then he turns and contrasts that with the hope that comes from Mount Zion. It's a contrast of the old covenant and the new covenant. It's a message of hope for us this morning. And as I look through these verses, as I look through this passage, it made me ask the question: what is the hope that comes through Jesus Christ? Do you think that Jesus Christ offers us hope this morning? Do you believe that this morning? Man, I believe it. I believe that there's hope in the name of Jesus. But as I look through this passage, the first thing I see here is this. that when we ask ourselves, what kind of hope does Jesus offer? What is this hope that we celebrate this morning? And what is this hope that we celebrate during the entire Advent season? Well, the first thing I see is this. That with Jesus, we have the hope of overcoming our fear. Have you ever been afraid? I've been afraid. I've been afraid this week. I've been afraid this morning. Fear is a part of this world, folks. But with Jesus, we have the hope of overcoming our fear. You see, before Jesus came, the glory of God caused great fear and despair. that as you look through the Old Testament, every time the people of God encountered the glory of God, it wasn't a very peaceful thing for them. It was a moment of great fear and great despair. Even the heroes of our faith feared the glory of God. That wonderful chapter in Hebrews, just a few chapters ago in chapter 11, that the heroes of our faith that are ticked off in this chapter, many of them even encountered fear and despair when they came into the presence of the glory of God. Moses, even in this passage here, Moses himself trembled with fear when he came into God's presence. Isaiah chapter 6, that wonderful chapter that Isaiah, as Isaiah is coming, is brought into the throne room of heaven, and he sees the angels singing around the glory of God around the throne. What are the angels singing? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah did not encounter this moment with a great sense of peace. No, he said, what woe is me? I cannot be in the glory of God and not be afraid. Without Jesus, this life is filled with despair and fear and hopelessness. Folks, we see it everywhere, don't we? All we've got to do is flick on the television and see fear and hopelessness and despair. But for many of us, we don't even have to even turn on the television. It's all around us. It's in our homes. It's in our neighborhoods. It's touching our lives every day. This is a world that is in despair, that's in fear. But can I say this, that through Jesus, we can encounter this world. We can encounter God. We can even encounter His glory with peace through faith. Folks, the entire thrust of this Advent season is God redeeming humanity and God saying, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You can know who I am and you can be at peace with that and you can be in relationship with me without that fear, without that despair. The angels speaking to the people of God before Jesus even came, as God was preparing his people to come in, for Jesus to come into the world, the angels encountered God's messengers and encountered God's servants, and every time the angel encountered God's people, there was fear. But every time the angel had a message of do not be afraid. In Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, we see the angel encountering Zechariah. And this is what happened. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, what? Do not be afraid, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. The angel also appeared to Mary, appeared to Mary, a 14-year-old girl. And here's the account here recorded in Luke. The angel came and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But Mary, she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, what? Do not be afraid. The angel also spoke to Joseph in the Gospel of Matthew. But as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. And as the angels appeared before the shepherds on that night that Jesus was born, the story that we read every Christmas morning out of the Gospel of Luke. So in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Folks, we live in a world with fear. We live in a world where there's despair. We live in a world where we're struggling to find hope. Have you been there? See, is there any hope in this situation? But with Jesus, we have hope of overcoming this fear. We have hope of overcoming the despair. We have hope. The second thing I see is this, that with Jesus, We have the hope of experiencing true worship. As we worship, we join the celebration of heaven. Folks, I love that we gather here on Sunday mornings. I love that we come and we sing some songs and we open up the Word of God and we read His Word together and we talk about it. And I love the time that we have. It's a time of worship for us as a corporate body. I cherish these moments. And it reminds us that we're not only just joining together here, but we're joining in the celebration that's going on right now in heaven before the throne room of God right now. And who was in this celebration? Well, this scripture, this passage tells us very clearly that when we come and we worship the Almighty God, we worship Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we're joining in a celebration that includes, first of all, the angels in heaven. That the songs that we're singing are joining in the songs that the angels right now are offering before God this morning. Did you ever think about that? That we have the hope of joining not only our own worship, but the worship that's going on eternally before the Almighty God. Luke chapter 2 puts it this way, and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." We're joining in that worship of the angels in heaven. We're also joining in the assembly of God's firstborn, those who were enrolled in heaven. You know, there is a book of life in heaven, and there's names written on it. My name's on that book. That should give us hope this morning. That no matter what happens here on this earth, my name is written out in a book in heaven. And that name, nothing that happens to me on this earth is going to take my name out of that book. This world can throw anything it wants to at me, but if I'm in the center of God's will, if my life is surrendered to Him, guess what? My name is in that book. I have something to look forward to. There's something better beyond this world. This book, this passage here says the assembly of God's firstborn. That word literally means the church of God's firstborn. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 says it this way: "The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot out his name from the book of life." I will never blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess His name before my Father and before the angels. When we're a part of God's church, we're not just part of Bridgepoint Church of the Nazarene. As awesome as that is, and I love Bridgepoint Church of the Nazarene, but I'm part of something bigger than that. I'm part of a church that reaches to the very heights of heaven. I'm part of a church that goes back thousands of years and will go in infinity before me. I'm part of something that is unshakable. I have hope in that. That no matter what this world has to offer, there's nothing like being a part of God's people. I have hope in that this morning. We're also joining in the celebration with the saints with the heroes of our faith, those saints of the Old Testament. Remember chapter 11 of Hebrews, those heroes that shape our faith this morning. Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua and on, David and Gideon and all those. Those who rejoice at the coming of God's anointed Redeemer. Hebrews chapter 11 puts it this way: In all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. That there's something that even they were expecting and even something they were hoping in that now has come to pass, and we are part of that celebration. And I cannot wait to get to heaven to meet Moses. Can you imagine meeting Moses? I wonder if he has that big beard that all the pictures have. Meet Gideon and meet Isaac and meet Abraham and meet Jacob. You know, we have the hope of someday meeting these heroes of the faith. But you know what's even greater than meeting Moses? What's even greater than meeting Abraham? What's even greater than meeting David? Is I get to meet Jesus. That at the end of the day, whatever happens to me on earth, does not take away the hope I have of meeting my Savior face to face. See, hope is this. And I try to, you know, a lot of her songs put it a wonderful way. You know, I don't know. The old songs I sang growing up almost depressed me. I don't know if you ever read the words of those old songs. It was almost like, I can't wait to die. I can't wait to die. I can't wait to die. So I get to go to heaven. But here's the hope that I have this morning. I've never been more ready to go to heaven. But I've never wanted to live on this earth more than I ever have without hope. I'm ready to go meet my Savior, but I sure am enjoying this life that God's given me here because of the hope that I have. I don't want to walk through this life to say, man, I just cannot wait to get before God. I cannot wait to get out of this rotten world and be with Jesus. You know what? I can't wait to be with Jesus either. But you know what? Jesus didn't come here so that we can go to heaven. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. Jesus came not only to get us into heaven, but he came so that heaven can be in us. That God's Spirit can be living in me right now. Folks, that's hope. That I can live a life of worship. That as we worship, we come into the presence of Jesus Christ himself. That being in the presence of angels and seeing the immensity of God's church and meeting the heroes of my faith is going to be completely awesome. But again, nothing is going to compare with meeting my Savior face to face. Folks, Christmas is not presents under a tree. Christmas is not finding the greatest deals. Christmas is not, you know, getting all the stuff we ask for. Christmas is Jesus coming to us in a baby in a manger. Jesus is our Emmanuel, our God with us. And because Jesus has come to us, now we can approach him in peace. Folks, for thousands of years, mankind struggled. How am I going to approach a glorious, consuming fire God? Jesus makes the difference. Because Jesus has come to us, we can now approach the Almighty God. We can call upon our God's name. We can call upon his Savior who knows exactly what it is to live on this world. That no matter what I'm dealing with today, I have the hope of a Savior who understands exactly what I'm going through because he went through it. Folks, to have hope is to know what true worship is. It kind of says worship isn't just singing the right songs at the right time and the right day of the week. It is living a life that declares, my God is worthy to be praised in every one of my circumstances. I love coming to church on Sunday and worshiping. But my life needs to be an act of worship to God on Monday when I'm cut off on the road. When I'm waiting in line at Walmart. Walmart is the evilest place on this planet, I think. When I'm at home and I don't know how I'm going to face the next day. When the phone call comes and there's been a tragedy. Am I worshiping God? Do I have hope? Is my God worthy to be praised in every one of my circumstances? Because of Jesus, I can say yes. I can worship him no matter what I'm facing. The third thing I see is this, that the hope that we have through Jesus isn't just a hope of worshiping him, isn't just a hope of overcoming our fears, and those are very important. But with Jesus, we have probably most importantly, with Jesus, we have an unshakable hope in a very shaky world. Can I tell you this? This world is a pretty shaky place to be. Has anyone been surprised over something this last week? A situation they didn't see coming, they weren't prepared for? This week at all? Am I the only one? this month, this year? How many of us have felt completely shaken up this past year? Folks, this is a very shaky place to be. This is not the most stable environment to live. But I can say this, with Jesus, we have an unshakable hope in a very shaky world. That no matter what happens, that as this world is shaking around me and as life is shaking, guess what? My hope does not have to shake. Because no matter what is going on, God is God. Jesus is Jesus. My hope is real. God is still on the throne. He's in control. Some things may happen that God didn't plan. And some, you know, I'm not here to tell you that all bad things happen for a reason. Sometimes bad things just happen. But throughout all of that, we have hope that God is with us and God will work all things for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. That we have hope in that this morning, that no matter what life may throw at me today, I have hope that God is with me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you to the very end of the world. And we have hope in that this morning. Because God is true and he's faithful to his promises this morning. But can I tell you this? Sometimes God is the one who shakes things up. Doesn't that just make you mad? That sometimes God shakes things up in our life. But can I tell you this morning? That God shakes things up not for our destruction, but to draw us back to him. There's sometimes that when God is shaking the very foundations of life, he's doing it not to say, get away from me, saying, I need you to realize that you need me, that you have to depend on me. And as God shakes things up in our life, he's saying, please, come and lean on me, your unshakable God. Has God ever shaken up your life? Oh, mercy. God's shaken up my life. Sometimes God is the one who does the shaking. But we can maintain our hope by paying attention to the God who cares and to a God who uses that to discipline us and to bring us back into his presence. This passage quotes a very short quote out of the book of Haggai. This quote that says that I'm going to shake, that one more time, yet once more I will shake the heavens and the earth. Can I read this quote out of Haggai? There's really not much more I can add to this, but let me just read this context of what God is saying to us through the prophet of Haggai. And maybe this, and read this in the context of Christmas and what Christmas should mean and what the world is trying to tell us about Christmas today. Haggai says this, well, God's saying through Haggai, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you. Literally, for Emmanuel, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth, in the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasures of the nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. I am going to shake things up. But do not despair. I am your hope. I am your glory. And you can have peace knowing that I am with you. Does that give you hope this morning? Finally, our ultimate hope is in the kingdom that cannot be shaken. We live out that hope by being grateful that we have a God who is not shaken by whatever happens to me, whatever happens to us in this world. We live out that hope by offering an acceptable worship to God. The end of this chapter says, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Romans 12 puts it this way: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. That you can be transformed into my image. And you can offer that life back to me as your form of worship. The hopelessness comes from letting this world shape us and mold us and press us into the world's image. There's no hope there. Because I tell you, this world is going to let us down every time. Our money is going to let us down. Our jobs are going to let us down. Our possessions, our cars, my car lets me down probably before I get to church every morning. But there is nothing in this world that will not let us down. Everything that this world has to offer is temporary. It's not real. It doesn't have the promise of giving us any lasting hope. But God says, you don't have to worry about that. You can let me shape your life. You can let me make you into my image, and you can offer that life back to me. And folks, somehow, when I live my life for God, I have more hope than when I'm living God than when I'm living life for myself. I want to live a life of hope. I want to live a life that's saying, God, make me into your image today. What kind of world do you live in? One that is shaking you in different directions every day, or one that is built on the unshakable hope that comes only in Jesus Christ? Folks, this world is going to do everything it can to shake us up. But I want to have hope in an unshakable God. Isaiah chapter 9 puts it this way. Isaiah chapter 9 tells us the hope that we have this morning in Jesus. The prophet writes this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of darkness, on them light has shone. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's my God this morning. My God, Jesus is my Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is my Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus is my Prince of Peace. Are you struggling with hope this morning? I'm just going to do things a little differently today. I'm going to kind of pray a prayer of hope over us this morning and end us this morning. And as we leave this place today, can I just say this? You're going to be entering into a world that's shaky. Chances are that this world is going to try to shake you up before you even get home from here. But I want us to be a people of hope. I want us to be a people that are leaning on an unshakable God. Let's pray. Father, one thing that this world seems to be running short of these days is hope. Lord, so often we find ourselves being tempted to fall into despair and to fall into a sense of hopelessness. But God, this morning I pray that today that we would find our hope in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. God, you are our Wonderful Counselor. You are our Prince of Peace. You are God with us. So this morning, I pray that we would be a people of hope. That even when we don't understand what's going on around us, even when it seems like this world is shaking under our feet, we can have the confidence to know that we have our hope in the Almighty God. And Lord, help us to be witnesses of your hope, Lord, in this world. Lord, as we go throughout the rest of this Christmas season, Lord, many people struggle with a sense of hopelessness and guilt and despair and depression, Lord, throughout this Christmas season, for whatever reason. Lord, use us as your people to speak hope into those lives. Use us as your light in a very dark world. Lord, make us into your image. Father, I pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus, the name above all names. I pray all of this by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray this, praising you as our Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, for hearing us. We give you glory. Amen. Amen.